Nice to meet you. My name is Joey. This is my business partner, Take. We started the website AkiaMart, but we're going to start just by introing a little bit about us and how we got here today. This all started back in 2023. Take and I had both lost our jobs. We were working in tech in the U.S., and I guess not something that most people do when they lose their job. We decided to buy a house in Japan.
Yeah, so I'm based in California. Joey's based out of Nova Scotia, Canada. Both very, very expensive housing markets. We'd been spending about 10 years of our lives working in tech. Joey's a software engineer. I'm in sales and a real estate agent. And it was just frustrating. You know, we were doing the grind and we're like, how the heck am I ever going to afford anything here? We were laid off and we had seen Michael Cheap Houses Japan's Instagram feed. We're like, wow, there's a lot of good opportunity there. A little bit, rewinding the story a little bit, Joey and I both, Joey studied for, I guess, I studied abroad at ICU in Mitaka for a year where I met Joey. We were part of the same dorm. Joey, background-wise, do you want to talk?
Sure, yeah. So with my mom's work way back in 2005, we moved as a family to Shizuoka Prefecture. I did grade 11, grade 12 in Shizuoka, and loved Japan so much. I applied to schools in Tokyo. I went to ICU for a full 4 years, and that's where I met Take.
And yeah, so then once we had seen Cheap Houses Japan, Michael's page, we reached out to Ziv. We had listened to the podcast, so everyone on the Japan Real Estate Podcast was kind of the inspiration. This is a year ago, I think, all of this happened. So for you guys who haven't bought an Akia or just starting this journey, things move really, really fast. Fast forward a year, we're kind of deep in the space. And again, really, really thankful for Ziv and the crew for getting us started. This was our first house in Beppu. We bought this house for about $42,000 or 6 million yen. Again, we learned a ton through the process with Ziv. This was a true Akia that was abandoned for about 2 years. If you guys are ever in Beppu or have never been, it's a very, very famous hot spring town. We initially went down to Kyushu to look for surf. We're both big surfers. But as we navigated up, we were like, wow, Beppu's the shit.
Yeah, specifically, I grew up in east coast of Canada, Nova Scotia, so I was looking for something warmer. Take is from California, so he didn't really care about warmth too much, but that's definitely what I was looking for. We settled on Beppu. We both love hot springs. This is kind of the condition the house looked at. This, you know, is one of the first nights, I think, in the house there. It was honestly very creepy. So we had driven down from Tokyo. We boarded a friend's van in Tokyo, drove it down. It took us 2 days to get there, and we showed up at the end of like a 9-hour drive, and we got the keys to the house and opened it up, and hard to describe the feeling a little bit. I feel like we went back to the hotel that night and we didn't even say very much to each other. I think we were both kind of in our own heads, like thinking we made a big mistake. You know, it smelled like an old house in there. When we got in, like turning the lights were the fluorescent lights and they kind of like were all flickering haunted house style. So yeah, that night, I kind of think we didn't talk to each other very much, and then the next morning we're like, all right, we got to make a plan. Like, we'll feel much better if we come up with a plan. And I think the first thing was fumigation. We're like, all right, let's go. And we were scared of the Dani bugs in the tatami, so we're like, let's go to the store, get the Dani killer, and fumigate first. That was like, we'll feel better once we know there's no bugs.
Yeah, we totally made a lot of mistakes, and we actually had a lot of fun with this, and it was really helpful for some of you guys who are investing alone. Maybe find a partner. Me and Joey did this together, and it made it a lot more tolerable. We found a lot of humor in it. We would like fumigate, and we'd like find all these really ghetto things about the house, and we're like, but it was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot. So this was our first true Akia. We actually are renovating it. It is now done. This is the progress photos. We're making this a minpaku, so 100 Airbnb rental. We went really, really custom on this. So we'll have some good photos. We got a 3 meter long monkey pod horikotatsu. So we went really high end with the finishes. We wanted to really stand out on an Airbnb. We did like the black synthetic tatami. So this should be done pretty soon. But this very first project is going to be an Airbnb, and more content about it soon.
Last thing to say about that. Me and Take aren't too we try our hand at DIY. We're more the demolition crew, and we knocked down a wall in this house. And once we knock down the wall, we notice there's these strange kind of cross bracing 2x4s in the wall, and we're like, what are these things? These aren't supposed to be here, so we cut them down. That's earthquake. Finally, we got a contractor to help us, and he was like, you can't cut that down. That's for earthquakes. So we got the contractor to bring it up to the 1981 earthquake code. So yeah.
Cool.
Don't just cut stuff down.
Yeah. After we bought our Beppu spot, we started the website, and we'll talk about the website in a little bit, but we found a need to be in Tokyo a lot more, so we purchased another property in Tama, about 17 million yen, $114,000. With this, we were originally looking at a true Akiya's in central Tokyo, and it was just like really daunting, thinking about like, are we going to go sleep in a really shitty Akiya on day one again, and we decided against that.
Sorry, Take, I gotta stop you there because you said shit twice now.
Okay, sorry.
Half joking, we have had complaints about that, and the worst thing is if you start, when Matt speaks, it's gonna be a lot worse because
poopy.
He'll think it's okay, so please.
Okay, so Tama was we tried to buy something a little bit nicer. So we went with more of a kind of a turnkey property. Our goal with this property is to make it more, explore the midterm rental market. We haven't made a single dollar on any of our rentals yet. We're trying to be kind of customer zero and understand the space for ourselves a little bit better before kind of giving people advice. But this is our place in Tama. A little bit better. Joey, any words on?
Yeah, so I just want to talk about the unit shower really quickly. So with our Beppu property, I've stayed in Airbnbs where it's like a really bad shower and like I feel like I'm not quite comfortable. I always prefer if the shower situation is really nice. And so with our Beppu property, we had a contractor in there and we tried to go real kind of custom with our shower because I was always against these unit style showers. I've been, I stay in APA hotel when I travel in Japan and I've been in those very tiny kind of shower. And that's what I always expected they were. But they come in very, very nice. Like I am completely comfortable in these. They range in quality. So I just, something that I've flip-flopped on is I think that the unit showers are great. I no longer speak poorly of them, so I wouldn't be afraid. And contractors are very, they're pushing this. I feel in my experience, they know how to install these very well. They probably do it a lot. So they will push for this type of solution for bathroom if you're doing a renovation. And I would just say, don't be afraid of it. It's not that bad. And some of them are pretty good quality.
Absolutely. All right. And most recently, we bought a property in Kitakyushu. So we bought this property for $3,500. Yep, I hear some laughs, and we know we're trying it out. So this property, we're shooting to have this be a long-term rental. We're really trying to go for the ROI on this one. We've learned a lot from Keaton. I'm not sure if he's here, but we met him previously at last year's session. He's kind of guiding us on how do we find these cheap properties and find good tenants from. This property, he kind of found for us and helped negotiate. So we're actually going down tomorrow to drive down and get the keys and check it out. We're doing very, very light renovation, but goal here is trying to explore the long-term rental market.
Yeah, and last thing to realize, I don't think we have too many pictures, at least not on the slides, of our first property in Beppu. We paid $40,000 for that property. I think this $3,500 property appears in better condition than the $40,000 property. So, it's hard to tell sometimes. Maybe the price isn't reflected of how well the house is maintained.
Okay, very last one. We are late today because we just came this morning from Miyoko. We are also buying another $3,500 property. This is a photo from this morning. This is the property in Miyoko that we're looking at. This is also an off-market deal that we're kind of exploring. We did go inside. We're buying this one completely as is, so there's a lot of old stuff in there. We went through it yesterday. This is a photo of Joey the night before where we're trying to break in, or not break in, but we opened the door, we had the key, and we're like looking around. So it was interesting. We're also trying to make this maybe, considering a new build, we're seeing if it's rebuildable. We're seeing if the lot alone might be interesting to keep. But we hear there's close to 30 meters of snow a year in Miyoko. I've never lived in snow, so this might be an adventure.
Yeah, our friend was saying that very likely the snow will come up to the second story there. So I'm from East Coast of Canada. We don't get that much snow there, so I'm not prepared for it either. Yeah. We'll see.
Okay, which brings us to our website we made. Akiyamart. So we come. Yeah, I can't read Japanese well. Kanji is very difficult. We spend a lot of time on, let's say, At Home or Sumo or Nifty, kind of going through and being very, very frustrated. I'm a California real estate agent, so very used to like the Zillow, Redfin kind of model. Joey, again, software engineer. I'm a real estate agent. So for our first property in Beppu, we actually first made a prototype and found the property with this product. So here at Akimart, we're trying to be kind of the Zillow or Redfin of Japan. How many of you guys have heard of Akimart? Raise your hands. Okay, cool. Okay, we don't need to explain too much. All right.
Yep, Take said it all. Very, very much based on a Western property search and discovery experience.
Yeah, one of the big things, again, we're big surfers, so I like looking at the map, trying to figure out where are the waves, where's the swell going to come? And with that, you know, going on the Japanese websites, it was very difficult. I didn't know the prefecture. I didn't know the city. I just wanted to look at a map and see the coastline and be like, okay, where's the closest I can get to the beach? So this is one of our main focuses, kind of this map-based UI. We really tried to take out a lot of the, not unnecessary, but kind of to keep the most important information for kind of the Western user. We converted everything to dollars. I'm very, very bad at dividing everything by 150 in yen, and I don't know what millions of yen. So we translate this to, we have US dollars, euros, Singapore dollars,
yeah,
Australian
a few
dollars.
Different currencies there for sure.
Yep.
What was I going to say? The one thing that I think steered me towards trying to build something ourselves to simplify our own property search was kind of more the user experience on Japanese websites. Like I, you know, have traveled across Japan. There's many different places in Japan that I love, and I feel like the Japanese websites they force you to look to specify which prefecture you're looking in or something like that. Specify a few criteria before they start showing you listings. And I just wanted to see like a very broad view of Japan. You know, I would be interested in property almost anywhere in Japan. So I kind of wanted to know, you know, what's available and start seeing property right away. Where I feel like there's a lot more friction on the Japanese websites to start viewing right away, and some of their map search functionality I didn't love.
Yeah, so this is just an example of a listing if you haven't seen it. Again, we try to just keep the central information. We launched our site back in January, and we're excited. We're going to be sharing a couple new features, and let's take it off. Okay.
Cool, yeah. So many people are familiar with Akimart already, so some new features. This one is already on the website, but it's new as of a few months ago. So I think last time at the summit in April, this wasn't available, and a lot of people approached me and asked specifically for a distance to train station filter. So that was added. Actually, a little bit of a funny story. I won't go into the tech details, but I used a Google API initially to do this and ran up a $6,000 bill in less than 24 hours using some Google Maps API. So so initially I had like, you know, walking, under 10 minutes walking to train station. That is very expensive to build a website based around that using Google Maps API. So this is the best, this is kind of a trade-off here. So it's in distance to the train station.
Yeah, in addition to distance to train station, we also have distance to konbini coming soon. I know that's been a highly requested feature, so coming soon. Okay, so this is live right now, and konbini should be coming pretty soon, right?
Yeah, we very briefly had walking distance to the closest ramen restaurant, too.
Oh, yeah. Important.
Yeah, that was also Google Maps, so unfortunately, no.
Cool. Next highly requested feature is email alerts. So now, we are now going to be beta testing. This should be coming pretty soon. But if you want email alerts on when new listings are coming in a specific area, that should be available. So as you can see right here, we have a Koega Ura Surf Shack. I'm a big surfer again. This is Koega Ura Surf Break. I want to know when things pop up. So now as an Akimart user, you can save this search. So anytime a listing comes up within the search parameters in this map area, you will be alerted by an email over here. So coming soon, I think this is gonna be very, very helpful if you're dead specific on certain criteria in a specific area. Anything else here, Joe?
Yeah, if anybody is curious about beta testing this, we're looking for people to beta test it. So come look for us. We're trying to test out the bugs, so.
Yeah. Okay, previously sold. Again, this one is a little bit harder. We wanted to be able to see what was already sold around us. We've only been collecting data for about a year.
Yeah, June 2023.
Yeah, so we're hoping we're going to pile up more data, but we want to get a better idea of what has sold in the previous time. For example, this is our previous property in Beppu. You can see property was delisted or AKA sold 437 days ago. I think this is really, really helpful. When you're looking at areas and you want to know like what stuff previously was like or what that house in that neighborhood sold for a year ago, we feel like this will be really helpful from comp data. If you're giving out offers and you see like, hey, the house next to it sold for this much, you know, that might be a good data point.
Is this actual sold or is this was listed for?
Delisted, yeah. De-listed. I know it's really hard to get.
At that price, okay.
Yeah, good question, Ziv. We just have the asking price. If anyone knows how to find data on what homes sold for in Japan, we're very interested, but up until now I haven't found that data. So this is the asking price at the time that the property was removed from the Japanese websites.
Yeah. Our goal is again, sorry about that.
Google Drive.
I don't know what happened.
While he's looking for that, the way to find that data is some of the agents who list on Rains will also list when they sell. So there'll be some data in there, but it's definitely not mandatory. So it's going to be partial data only.
Okay, yeah. And I believe Rains is pretty strict about what sort of data you pull from there. Or so I've heard.
All right. Sorry, guys. What the heck is happening?
No, not from Rains. We pull from publicly available Japanese listing websites at home, for example. Yeah.
Is there any disadvantage with your listing compared to what is available in Japanese one? Like, I have always this perception that in terms of timing, Japanese one will show you the most fresh and latest, and maybe even sometimes even more than, let's say, IKEA.
Yeah, I would say probably we have about a 48-hour lag, or you know, zero to max 48-hour lag, I would say, on properties, anywhere in between that. So if you're looking for absolutely the latest, yeah, Japanese websites are going to be the source of truth there. If you're a little bit more casual, 48 hours is acceptable for me personally. So,
yeah. Once we gather enough data on previously sold, again, we know, take that with an asterisk, last listed price, we hope to kind of start coming up with estimates. Zillow has Zestimates. I don't think there's something currently well built in Japan, so we're going to be using some data analytics and kind of data science models to try to predict, like, hey, how much is a 1977 building that's this square meters or feet in this neighborhood cost? We know it's not going to be perfect, but that is something we hope to use this data to determine sometime in the future.
This is something that I'm personally interested in. So zoning is very important for minpaku or Airbnb, any type of rental in Japan. It's not a one-to-one mapping to are you going to be able to Airbnb this property, but it's a step in the right direction. So zoning maps are something that we're working on, and also hazard maps. So there is a government website that has very, very accurate flood risk zones, landslide zones, that type of stuff. So we're lucky that the government has organized this very, very well for us.
Yeah, and one call out, sometimes our listings are not exactly in the right location. We do take the seller listing data, so they don't always put the exact address. So when looking at this, and eventually we're going to roll out this zoning map, take it with a grain of salt and make sure you do due diligence and making sure it's like exactly, if you're depending on it to be in one of this yellow area for a special minpaku zone, please do due diligence and make sure it is actually there. But this gives you a general idea if you're looking at the map, like, hey, this is a commercial zone, this is okay for ryokan, or this is okay for special minpaku. So this hopefully should be helping you guide your search a little bit more.
Yeah, let me just address that topic again, because we get that question a lot. So sometimes some people will say, hey, the listing, you know, it's not in the right location. We do our best. Sometimes we do get the right location direct from the Japanese sites that we're pulling from. Sometimes they don't include that exact latitude, longitude, and what we do is we use Google Maps API, expensive, what we do is we plug in the address into the Google Maps API, and that spits out a latitude and longitude for us. The issue there is that sometimes Japanese listing agents will purposefully obfuscate the listing so you don't have the complete address. So I believe that the complete address is available in the Rains database. We don't have access to Rains, but we get a truncated address. So we do our best. It's always best to double check, you know, jump on Google Streets and see if you can find the house. But at the moment, this is the best we can do. Just as Take mentioned, you know, if you are very concerned about zoning or hazard areas, best to double check to see if you can find the property on Google Street where the pins is saying it is.
All right, cool. Also, by popular demand, we now have wish lists or saved kind of categories. So, for example, if you're looking specifically for cabins, you can now save listings in an organized way. We think this is helpful because people look at different cities, people look for different types of houses, comincas, things like that. So this should be coming soon too, Joey?
Yep. Okay. This is what I'm working on right now, so this one should be the first thing out.
Yeah. Joey's a one-man tech army team, so appreciate you. I know a lot of you guys have given feedback, and we're taking it and slowly building it as we go here.
Yeah, you need to hire someone. We got too many features we need to ask you for.
Someone, yeah, fund us, please. All right, cool. So AkiMR Insights. So we've been, again, we launched the site in January. We have a lot of really clean structured data. So today we want to share some of those insights. But again, please take it with a grain of salt. I'll talk about our demographics a little bit first. So since January, this is kind of what the spread of our data looks like. So the average user on AkiMR is 63% male, 28% female. Average age range is probably, the bulk is 35 to 44 year olds. Interesting user base is, I mean, not too interesting. United States, we have the most users, Japan second, Canada third, Australia fourth. What's interesting about Australia, you guys have the highest average engagement use time. So all you Australians, thank you for spending so much time, 10 minutes, too much time. You guys must love real estate here. But yeah, just know all this data is kind of based off this. I know we're kind of more geared maybe toward the United States, but this is the data we have and kind of the data the average user. Talk about this?
So
you can see this is a trend since January. Things have been moving in a good direction. I think it's a combination of us working on some SEO, but also the space is heating up. We have about 1 million hits on our site monthly at this point. When we first started out, it started again closer to 100,000 and then slowly moving up to about 300,000 a week. So we take that. Hopefully, Joey's doing a great job with SEO, but also I do think this space is definitely trending from what we've seen from online traffic.
Okay, so this is a little bit of comparison. I presented some of this data in April, and so we're presenting some new data, but I just want to do a comparison with April. There's a little bit of interesting things to talk about. So this is just straight most liked properties. You can like properties on AkiMart, and so we just count where the likes are happening. For 2023 data, which is what I presented in April, Shizuoka number one, Kyoto, some of the ski areas. Okayama is interesting as well. Yeah, that is next one. And then as you can see, you know, we're almost on 2024. With 2024 data, Kyoto has risen to the top, Tokyo, Kanagawa, kind of greater Tokyo area, the main cities in the greater Tokyo area. Interesting that the kind of ski zones, not as liked.
Yeah, again, these are just our most liked properties. We're going to keep continuing to share this, but it's interesting to see that things do shift around. We are afraid at first when pulling the data that it stayed static, but I don't know if it's seasonal or what it is, but at this point, Kyoto is our number one most liked prefecture at this point. All right, insight number two, real estate hotspots. Joey, you want to explain what is a hotspot, Joey?
So hotspots, I was just trying to look at our data, come up with some metric that kind of defines, you know, how fast properties are moving on the market and leaving the market. So kind of like what are hot markets? So in 2023, again, Tokyo, greater Tokyo area, clearly here, Miyagi standing out. And if we compare with 2024 data, we also see Miyagi there again. If anyone here is from Miyagi or knows anything about the Miyagi real estate market, I'm very curious. This trend persisted both 2023 and 2024. I've never been to Miyagi, so I don't know anything about that place. But hotspots here are defined as properties being sold within 90 days from being listed. So these are ranked by the percent of properties that sell within the first 90 days of being listed. Properties in Tokyo, many of them are selling within the first 90 days, for example.
Yeah, interesting. We didn't see too much of a shift. The only shift, again, between 2023 and 2024 data so far is the Chiba moving up and Saitama going down one. Not a big change. All right, on the flip side, we have the cold spots, okay? So if you're really looking for a place that maybe isn't so hot and you might find a good deal, these are the top five prefectures or areas. Seems to be very much Shikoku-based.
Yeah.
With Tokushima as number one as a cold spot. So this is the exact same the metric, opposite. Yeah, metric.
So again, I took, you know, I just looked at every prefecture. What's the percentage of properties that sell within the first 90 days? Ranked every prefecture. These are the bottom five. So the other ones were the top five. These are the bottom five. One pattern you'll see in a few slides coming up as well is Shikoku is a very, markets move slow in Shikoku and also Wakayama.
Okay, where can I buy the most land per listing? I know this is a very American thing, like I want a big piece of plot of land here. So what we did is we basically looked at per listing and the average lot size. Nagano, number one, Yamagata, Fukushima, Shimane, and Saga. So if you're looking for a big plot of land for the average listing, these are the top five that I would look at. Anything else here, Joey?
Nope, I think you got it. Interesting, some cold areas, I would say, coldish.
Mountain.
Areas.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so this is, I presented this slide in April as well. Absolutely nothing has changed, which is just something I want to emphasize here. Tokyo, the average property price is three. Again, these are all secondhand homes, so excluding condos, secondhand homes. So ikodate secondhand homes. Average price in Tokyo of the data we're seeing on our website, $300,000, and 90% of homes in Tokyo Prefecture priced under $850,000.
Okay, so if you have $850,000, you can afford 90% of the ikodate homes in Tokyo. On excluding Tokyo, we also want to throw this out there. Excluding Tokyo, average price is about $150,000 USD. And 90% of the homes are under $300,000. So if your budget is $300,000, you could buy a lot of stuff out there.
90% of homes on the market, yeah. This was interesting. So we are pulling listings every single day. And I noticed a weekly trend. So this is on the x-axis. It's daily here. And these are new listings on AkiyaMart every day. The purple line is the past 4 weeks. And then the gray line is the 4 weeks preceding that. And I see a very strong correlation on Wednesdays and Tuesdays, which are the days that real estate brokerages are on. It's their weekend for brokerages in Japan. So it's interesting to see that, you know, it's the weekend for real estate agents, so they're not posting as many properties. And we see a big spike in new listings every Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So if you're looking for new listings, start looking on Fridays. That's typically where we see the fresh supply coming in. Or use email alerts. Both will work. Okay. Average days on market. Wanted to just also figure out by prefecture, you know, what is the average day on market, especially as you're looking at specific prefectures. It's helpful to know, you know, when you see a listing and you see something over the average, might be a signal. If you see something below, might be an opportunity. So you can see right here, Tochigi, Oita, Miyagi, Tokyo, and Yamanashi are all 30 to 40 days average on market. While Aomori, Fukui, Tokushima, same kind of trend, cold spots, are closer to the 60 to 70 days average days on market.
Price per square foot, we also looked at, and it's a little hard to see, I apologize, but in parentheses, that's price per square meter. Price per square foot is the smaller number. Obviously, Tokyo is the highest with, I'll do it in metric, with about $5,000 per square meter on average in Tokyo. And yeah, as you see, kind of greater Tokyo area, Okinawa, Kyoto are the top five for most expensive per square meter. Again, this is secondhand homes excluding condos. Also, again, we see a familiar cast of prefectures here on the lower end. We see Wakayama and some Shikoku prefectures, Kagawa, Tokushima, with Akita and Toyama thrown in there as well. So again, the same, you know, the colder real estate markets are interesting that it's a very strong, robust relationship there.
Yeah, again, all this is going into this estimate model we're going to be making. Again, we have prefecture data, average square price per square foot. So hopefully all this will eventually connect. But for you guys, just want to show you kind of some of the data. All right, last one for you, Jack.
This is something, since we're gathering, I used to be a data scientist in my past work, so I made sure that the data that we're collecting is well organized and clean. So I've always interested in doing some more data analysis type stuff. Haven't had the time to go into too much depth, but one thing since we're dealing with real estate, one thing I was curious about was whether the Noto earthquake on January 1st, 2024, had any effect on the number of properties entering the market. And Honestly, I would say the correlation is not very clear here. So this is in, highlighted in yellow. This is the 5 months immediately after the Noto earthquake. Maybe a small bump there, maybe not. What I'm most excited about sharing here is just that I'm hoping to do more of this style real estate analysis going forward in the future.
Yep. Okay. Cool. So if you want to be whitelisted for those some of those products, go ahead and scan this QR code. It'll just send you to a Google form. Put your email address. If you're already an Acumart Pro subscriber, we'll get to it eventually, and we'll kind of whitelist you and send you, give you beta test access. Please bear with us as it doesn't load fast yet. We're still working on it. Again, this is our tech team right here. So working on it, but go ahead and scan
Discount code.
We don't have it this time, but we will hit us up. We'll hook it up. Other than that, again, that was the end of our presentation. We're going to be having a breakout session after this where we're going to be showing how we use the tool ourselves. I know some of you guys are newer. We have some UI things we're working on, but other than that, thank you guys so much for being here. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. They're not done. They're still here for another 10 minutes to answer questions. We've got a few in the chat room, but raise your hands first in the audience if you have any.
Tracy. Oh, this is going to be a hard question. Here we go.
I'm ready. Do you have data that's showing conversion? So people that are seeing, like finding a listing on your site, do you have visibility on whether that's converted into a sale or not? And if so, how's that going for you?
Not yet. Top of mind. We're trying to figure that out now. Now it's figuring out what are customers doing? So I think that's our next step of figuring out where are people getting stuck using our site? Where, people that click I'm interested, how many people are actually buying? So it is top of mind, but no, we don't have any tracking.
Just curious, because it is so hot, this market right now, mm-hmm. Because there's everyone saying, I'm getting a free house, and then, rubber hits the road, and it's not.
Yep.
So how many tire kickers there are out there? That's just my curious, what I'd be curious about.
Yeah, we've had a few people just send us, anecdotal, send us an email like, hey, I found the property on your site and I, closed on it last month kind of thing. Up here's a picture of me in front of it in Nagano. So maybe like two or three people have sent us an email like that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You need to social media that stuff, right?
But the data, as far as just user activity, definitely the sub $10,000 properties have thousands and thousands of views. So again, we're trying to understand our user base a little bit more, but there are still a lot of those people that see that free house or whatever cheap one, and we'll look at that. So we're definitely seeing a lot more traffic on those, kind of up to the $20,000 US dollar range. I think there's a lot of interest. Maybe they're just window shopping, but as far as conversion, definitely something we're thinking about.
On top of the Tracy's one, I'm a real estate agent. I recently closed one deal that from the Florida investor who found Yokosuka Akiya at 8.5 million, and our company closed the deal.
Right.
And if you can have some agent page or a realtor's page, then you can contribute how much, the Akiya we closed the deal. So is there any such plan?
Yeah, so at this, again, we built the tool originally for ourselves, kind of just the search and discovery side. Now we're trying to figure out how to connect that with agents. Not all agents love getting the foreigner email in English, kind of scatterbrained. So
we love that.
Yeah, okay, well, top of mind, we will be making kind of an agent page soon where we figure out
how to connect you guys better.
But I'm glad someone used our site to find.
No hands. In that case, I've got some questions from the chat. No, you're not done. You're not done.
Okay.
So the streamers have some questions.
Hey, streamers.
Yeah. Question number one. When you mentioned distance as a filter or as a label, is that as the crow flies or actual travel distance or public transport or what is it?
Yeah, no, straight line distance as the crow flies. Again, to use that kind of... when you go on Google Maps and it tells you which way to walk, that is a very expensive feature to use to build into a website. It's free, if you go to Google Maps, maps.google.com, but to actually build that into a website is, I would say, prohibitively expensive. So, no, it's straight line distance, just using latitude and longitude of the two points.
I'm just curious, is Apple Maps cheaper? Does it work? Is that an API you can incorporate? I'm sure you've looked into it. I'm just curious myself.
Yeah, there is a free one, OpenStreetMaps. I haven't explored that yet. I got scared after we got the $6,000 bill in 24 hours. So yeah. It is something, and I'm talking to a friend of mine who does more of the geospatial type stuff. So hopefully someday, I prefer that, obviously, you know, walking time to the place you're trying to go to, but yeah, at the moment, straight line distance.
Okay, and if you thought that was a technical question, there's another one. I'm just going to read it from the chat because
sure.
That's Japanese to me. One of the key benefits of rootstock is access to data in Excel format rather than visual/map. Is this functionality that is or would be coming to the platform for users to download?
That's a good question. We had someone recently who told us that he was scraping our data, so you know, people do want to get access to the data and do their own thing with it. So potentially, I haven't thought about that too much recently, but yeah, it could come out.
And I think something that would be extremely valuable is with saved homes. If you have a ton of, you know, saved homes and a specific search, being able to export an Excel sheet
yep.
with those data formats. So I think that's a great feedback request that we should look at, Joey.
Yeah, I do like giving people, you know, the power to do what they want with their own search. So, yeah, I'm in line.
Yeah, coming soon.
And I know that you incorporated condo units into the platform recently.
Yeah.
Are you scraping them in the same way you're scraping houses? Are we just not seeing more of them? Or?
Yeah, we went down a slightly strange path with the condos. A while back, I thought that investment condos would be the thing that people mostly wanted. So we're pulling them from like an investment condo website. So yes, we don't have all the condos that are on the market in Japan. And I think we went in the wrong direction there. So we've been sort of discussing how to handle that. I think the condos that we have are a little bit incomplete. And they don't show the full picture of condos in Japan.
Yeah. For the condos too, as far as like the building management fees, please take a look at the Japanese side. We don't pull that quite yet. We know it's top of mind. Also, we do plan on pulling land hopefully soon as a kind of a next subset or asset class.
And last question, unless somebody else wants to raise their hand in the room. Do you offer or will you offer lifetime subscriptions to the platform?
Don't know. Good question. We'll get back to you on that.
It is interesting. Like we have a subscription product now. We've been talking about just removing that completely, and making it free. So and figuring out other ways of monetization. So you know, potentially the site will be free in the future.
Yeah, we realized like Zillow and Redfin, they don't have a subscription model, and I think this was really for us to kind of get started. I think we're really interested in the data. You know, what can this data do? I don't think Japanese real estate companies are really looking at, you know, how things stay on the market or how things sell at what speed. So that's really what we're looking for. So subscription model, I think, will go away at some point. But I think maybe some of these features like hazard maps, some of these zoning special features, I think we still might keep on a subscription basis.
One more question. One more question from the stream here.
Okay.
There is a direct correlation between population decline and property devaluation. Is that relevant in rural Japan? And does that mean the property value will continue to decline?
Yeah, great question. So sometimes people ask us this question like, hey, if you know, why buy now? Why not wait 10 years when it's even cheaper? I don't know. We also see that the space is heating up. You know, a lot of people have that same train of thought. They're excited about the space and love Japan and would love to have a place to come here each year to get a vacation home. So, you know, I don't really have a great answer to that. I believe that whoever asked the question, they're spot on that population decline is a reason why, you know, especially in rural areas, there's very cheap property. But in terms of timing the market, I can't really advise there. I believe me and Take are more just like, we love Japan, we love the property, you know, why wait?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of overanalysis paralysis because there's such a high supply. And, you know, if you're waiting for the perfect time, it might come, but also I think the best time to plant a tree was yesterday, next best time is today. You know, you can analyze that there's going to be a huge supply, things are going to go up and down, we don't know what the exchange rate is going to be. So I think right now, is in my mind, as you can see from just the traction we're getting in this past year, things are moving fast. We're seeing properties move a lot faster, especially on Akimart. We have people that are like, contacting us and fighting over the same property. So it is getting more competitive, and I'd say the wave is coming, or if it's not already here.
Last thing to say on that, on a personal note, the $40,000 Beppu property that we purchased, that was my first home purchase in my entire life. It was scary. You know, I'd never bought property before at all. And, you know, I am the kind of person that wants to do, you know, think about it a little bit longer. And Take was really a good friend and kind of more of like a, let's just do it. You know, what's the worst that can happen? Worst case, we have a property that we go to in Japan every year kind of thing. So, like, he did really push me to, you know, let's... If you love Japan and you want to spend more time here, like, it's very hard to see the plan going wrong in any way by just going for it now. So
they have four properties in the year.
So you've got to put a value on your lifestyle as well. Like, exactly. You know, that it's not just all about the money. It's about how much value you're giving yourself. It's a hard thing to quantify, though. So, totally. You know.
Yeah, we say pound for pound. You know, you could probably find a better ROI kind of investment vehicle somewhere. But for us, it's a lifestyle investment. We love coming here. We also feel like it's just great to be able to own something. In California, I can't do that. So, yeah, you know, everyone has their own reasons, but we feel lifestyle kind of investment. This has been awesome. We now have a spot in Miyoko to go skiing in the winter. And a hot spring spot in Beppu. You know, we got it's awesome.
I'm scared about the 50 feet of snow.
It's okay. We'll figure it out. So,
any last questions, anyone in the room? Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having us.